Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Vegas studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, welcoming you back to the new year, the new landscape, as it were, a fresh canvas upon which to paint whatever you desire. I have some stuff to tell you and some things to talk about. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk about our wonderful sponsor, Suzy Q's Jewelry, who also has made it into 2021 and is back hard at work creating some amazing pieces like bracelets, necklaces, earrings. I wish I wore jewelry other than, you know, like my ring and my watch, because she just creates some stunning stuff. Go over to SuzyQs.com. Follow her on Instagram or check her out on Facebook. There is a link in the post, as always, to her website directly. And check her out. She's quite talented. So with the new year, I promise you a couple of things. And I'm holding true to that promise. So this podcast is a little bit different than the average or usual Weekend Geek Update. In fact, this is just going to be more of, this is kind of a filler, I guess. It's a not a fluff piece. That's wrong terminology. This is kind of a filler. And I may be doing more of these as the year progresses. I'm waiting to see how feedback goes for this. But this is more of my, like a take. Next week will be the new format. We are adding a video element finally to the podcast, in addition to a couple of new segments that we will be unveiling at that point. But, and of course, Suzy Q's will still be our sponsor, and things are still trucking forward, but it's just like that weird little vacuum before we start the production and what we're doing. I didn't want to go, like, you know, a couple of weeks of not having anything. So as this new system and process works itself out, because we expanded the studio, there's this whole new element and things that me and the new hosts want to accomplish. So, yes, that's right, new hosts as well. So I'm still here, of course, sorry. But there are two new characters that will be joining the 5280 team, and some of you may know them, some of you may not. It just depends which walk of life you are with me. Or if you are our, you know, out-of-state or out-of-country listeners, thank you so much. You're going to get some new introductions with, you know, a few of course, the same added elements that you've all come to love. The news is always going to be there, because what would be a Weekend Geek Update without the news? So next week we will have this new, we'll hope anyway, barring any other tragedies that may or may not happen with our clean canvas of 2021. That is the plan as it sits right now. So I'm sure there will be growing pains. I'm sure there's going to be some tremendously comedic moments. Red is knee deep in her projects that she's got going on. So go over to YouTube. She has her own channel that she's been working on. She's got some writing projects that she's feverishly working on. So just out of scheduling conflicts, Red will not be returning to the podcast at this time. So she's still part of the team. She's doing a stationary play with bullet journaling, and it's really intriguing. And she's always talked to me about bullet journaling and what she's doing, and I keep it all in my head most of the time. I mean, I have gotten better about writing things down. But if you want to see about journaling and her art and Boo, it is the year of the Boo, so you got to go over and check out her YouTube channel. And of course, Private Cheeseburger Double A Ron is knee deep in some food suicide mission of tasting every gastro place opening. So he is out and about. He will return eventually. It's just when his schedule also permits to rejoin the team. But that being said, our two new hosts, I'm going to save it, actually. I'm not going to tell you anything. There's no fun in me spoiling the two new hosts, so you got to come back next week to check out the new crew and the new format, and of course you are going to see the inside of Figgis Studios. So yeah, I think you'll like it. It's interesting, and of course you will be introduced to the Taste Buds Kitchen. So there you go. Oh, there you go. There's a tease. You're gonna get introduced to the Taste Buds Kitchen. So you're probably wondering what the fuck I'm talking about, or what I am going to talk about if I'm waiting on the news. And there's been a lot of developments, some stuff. I mean, it is still like at the end of New Year's, and lots of things shaking up. Well wishes for all, and hopefully you made it through to the other side, and things will improve. So with that said, I wanted to kind of step away, and I would have written what I'm about to talk about, but I decided that maybe this would be kind of a neat filler through the week, and of course it would add to the podcasting element of the show, and adding, you know, yet one more podcast isn't a bad thing, especially under our umbrella. And, you know, press like, subscribe, share, help us any way possible. We appreciate everyone's support in, you know, all things geeky. So hopefully you'll enjoy the new format. But this was something that I've been mulling over for quite a while, and it's my takes. I always have like a certain take. I do my take on comics every Wednesday as far as the new releases, why they're my top five, the things that catch my eye, whether it's the art, the story, something that has captivated the inner child in me, to, you know, why it's in my top five. So every week you get my take on that. And when I originally started the site, I was much more active in the writing side of what was, you know, going on, whether it be Walking Dead, which, let's face it, kind of, well, it's ending. That's all we need to say. So, but there are other things that I would do my takes on. The Flash. And, of course, there was that horrible season about that time that happened with the mind dude and the floaty chair. And just, it was such a painful season. And I don't know if the one that followed it was that was all that great. So I kind of pulled away from doing my takes as shows became more repetitive and all of that, and movies, of course, rolled over to meat and potatoes, and that aspect was covered entirely by somebody else. So it just kind of pushed me out of how I wanted to cover things. So my take has always been there, but I just haven't utilized it. So this year, as part of the new canvas, if you will, we will be exploring some new avenues that I originally had set up when I started 5280, 6 years ago now. So here's one of them, of course, my take. Now, what to do my take on? And there was a lot of things that fluctuated in my mind, and I'll probably get to them eventually. But the one that really sat with me is the Doctor Who holiday special. Not even really a holiday. It's New Year's Day, which kind of constitutes, I don't know if New Year's Day really constitutes a holiday. It's more of just like a recovery day for some and a delayed start for others. They know you went out, you did something probably stupid, and are regretting it the next day. So New Year's Day really doesn't seem like a holiday to me, really, in most retrospect. I mean, granted, when I used to work the 9-to-5 and, you know, was part of corporate America, I was always, that was like 2 days, day after my birthday and New Year's Day, I have to be off. I don't care those days. Because granted, I'm going to probably do something stupid. So, I don't know if New Year's Day really constitutes as a holiday. I digress. The fact is, the one that stood out for me this last week, and there are so many things, and I've talked about a lot of stuff, especially when you're looking at, like, The Mandalorian, it finally wrapped. The new Transformers, that's there. Cobra Kai premiered the same day, in addition to Doctor Who's holiday special landing. So there's a lot of new material, but the one that stuck, that is just blaringly sticking out at me is the Doctor Who special, and there's good reason for that. I've been a Doctor Who fan for a very long time. I have been on panels. I have interviewed doctors. I have been part of the culture for a very long time. Now, I'm not saying I know it all. I'm not like, you know, some of the genius guys that can, you know, explain what happened in Colin Baker's episode of, you know, 126. And, you know, there are some things that I'm good on. There are other things that I'm just like, okay, I'll take your word for that. But I have been able to nail a few storylines and predict some things with a fair amount of accuracy when it comes to Doctor Who. And the formula has been rather simple. In fact, I remember doing one con, and I think, was it Salt Lake? It may have been Salt Lake. It may have been FanX, where somebody asked me a question after the panel was over. And it was a little guy. And he was all like, you know, would you describe the Doctor as a superhero? And it is a very, very great question. And it's not the first time that I had heard that question. But coming from someone so young, I mean, the kid probably couldn't have been maybe more than 8 or 10 as far as years of age. And this is right around early Matt Smith, end of David Tennant era-ish, right in there. So, to be asked that question from such a kid, especially at that age, I would think, of course, they're focused in on, you know, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, of course, I think I see more little kids in, like, Spider-Man and Superman t-shirts and apparel than any other character, really. I mean, there's a few others, of course, that are probably close, but those are usually the ones that I see the most of. But to have, you know, a little 8-10-year-old child come up and ask me that question was really, really interesting. Of course, you know, I answered it the best that I could, given the age. You know, I can't go into too much detail. I don't want to lose him halfway through. But to answer his question, I said, yes, I consider Doctor Who a superhero. And by the definition of what a hero is and stands for, the Doctor, by all means, absolutely is a superhero. However you get to that end of the formula, he pulls it off. The Doctor pulls it off. So the kid, seeming relatively happy with my answer, skipped along with his parents, and that was the last I had ever seen of that child from that point on. But I'm hoping, given his glee at my answer, inspired him to continue watching Doctor Who and to evaluate how he looks at heroes. So sitting down to watch the Doctor Who holiday special, I do have some expectations. I mean, granted, and this came from one of my mentors, not all of what you do is going to be an Oscar, all right? Not everything comes off exactly as you planned. They all can't be winners, all right? Just try to fail as little as possible. And it was at the time, I'm thinking, that's kind of odd advice. But now in retrospect, okay, that makes sense. So I sit down to watch the special. Now, hopefully you've watched it. No, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but I'll kind of give you a basic outline of what happened in the episode, and then I'll give you my take as far as my reaction and my thoughts, and then kind of like a follow-up on it. So with the Doctor in, we basically know that she's in prison. She's in a Jadoon prison, and she's just, you know, wasting time away. And through the course of the episode, we do come to find out that she's been there for a couple of decades, while the fam has been waiting for her return has only been 10 months. So that's the equivalent for the time that she's been away and when she's able to return and get back to her TARDIS. Of course, she's been there for decades. She's just kind of like in this weird, I don't know, I don't want to say slump, but I mean, it's kind of, you know, they show her going through her day where, you know, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, that's fine. You kind of come to expect that. You're in prison. You have a routine. But they kind of like brush over that. They do show some of the other inmates that are there with her. You got a weeping angel, an ood. How ood to find an ood in prison. I wonder what an ood would have done to end up in a Jadoon prison. Interesting. We do get a sicker act, which was kind of fun. A little throwback to Tenet's Christmas special, which I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. I already said the weeping angel. There was the weird little bitey eaty monster from Whitaker's last season that could basically, you know, eat anything it wanted and fart fire. I mean, I can't I can't remember the name of the character, but it's a cute little thing. And basically indestructible. It's an indestructible thing. A tic-tac. Anyway. So it was fine. You get kind of like this visual. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's Captain Jack. Captain Jack finally appears. And through no fault of his own has a plan. And they're out. So it's very quick, and I'll get, like I said, I'll get to my reaction shortly. And then, of course, on the other side of the planet, we have the story that's going on as we get Mr. Big is back, and sorry, I'm just going to call him Big, because that's all I see is Sex in the City. All I see is Big, and he's just so smarmy, and he's probably one of the most hated characters in all of Whoville, but just not a fan of this particular character. But of course, he's got they basically pick up from the season special last year as they take away the carcass of the exploration Dalek, and you know, it kind of follows up with that, and then they leap forward about a year, and he's mass producing Dalek drones, which don't have any Dalek in them, but through science, they're able to extract a cell sample and grow new Daleks. So part Dalek, part human. Yep, you know where this is going. So they end up in the armor and run rampant through all of England. So it's a very interesting story. Through some very interesting means, we get the Daleks out of the time vortex that are an executioner squad, basically there to, you know, it's just kind of like an odd thing why they're just hanging out in the time vortex. But, you know, okay, fine. They come out. They expunge England of the impure Daleks, which is what they do. Because if you're not all Dalek, then you're blasphemy. Blasphemy! And then, of course, comes a whole lot more of exterminating, which all happens off camera. We get a little bit, to be fair, some. So we get old Daleks versus new Daleks. I mean, I love the design of the new Daleks. I thought it was kind of pretty looking. It's kind of cool. I mean, for a pepper pot with, you know, grip rings. So... And, of course, you know, the Doctor's masterminding all of this, brings him out, and then comes up with a very interesting plan to eliminate the Daleks. And there you go. That's kind of the premise for the story. And I've watched it twice now because I didn't want to go off of my initial reaction. I didn't want to be that negative. I want to be somewhat constructive about my take on it. So let's start with the prison, and we come to the conclusion that the Doctor, Jodie Whittaker's Doctor, has been there for only a couple of decades, which seems to kind of pale in comparison, especially when you're looking at Peter Capaldi, who spent billions of years in the Time Lord crucible in the disc. So when she comes out, she's down on herself. She's loaded full of just despair. And I find it hard to believe that the Doctor would have sat there for two decades or a couple decades to not come up with a way of breaking out. I mean, it's a Jadoon prison, which really bothered me because we didn't see any Jadoon. We saw, you know, quick glimpses of everybody else, you know, as far as who's being held there, which was a nice touch. I did like the fact that we got to see a quick glimpse of everybody being there. I mean, even we even had a silence that was there, which was great, and especially the line that we got. But that was the problem, one of the problems that I had, and it's an ongoing problem I think I have with Chris Chibnall, who is the man in charge of Doctor Who, just basically swiping different lines and from different episodes. Because there were a couple of key phrases that, you know, it's full of Easter eggs, which I guess is great. But it, to me, it almost kind of just was like, all right, so you couldn't really think of anything clever to say, so you're just going to swipe a previous line. And the first couple, it worked, but later you're just like okay, we get it. You don't know really how to write dialogue. And I don't know if my opinion of Chris Chibnall is universal. I know there's a lot of other people who are into Doctor who share my view. But for the most part, I don't think Chris Chibnall is really high on a lot of people's list as far as a great showrunner, great writer, and overall good influence for Doctor Who. In fact, I've even said it. The man has sabotaged Doctor Who. Congratulations. You have absolutely torpedoed one of the best genres ever. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Congratulations. Best ever. You killed it. Great job. So my next big problem slash kind of like was the whole Captain Jack thing. And, you know, it was I expected more. Maybe I was just was so geared up to see Captain Jack, but the reunion just fell flat. There was just no emotion. There's no heart to it. And I've watched it twice now, and I've also conferred with a couple of other people that I know have watched it and are huge Captain Jack fans, of their reaction, and they kind of solidified my opinion of they used much more colorful language than I. They just fell kind of flat. Of course, we do get the opening line that we got from Tennant of, have you had work done? And of course, Jack responds the exact same way he did to Tennant, was, you can talk. So again, recycling lines. Is it a good line? Yes. And how it's delivered is quick, it's quirky, and it works. But at the same point, there was just no heart. And I expected a much more emotional reaction, I guess. I mean, because let's face it, when we last see Captain Jack with the Doctor, you know, a whole lot of shit went down. But they leave pretty much all on great terms and, you know, happy family, and off they go. So it wasn't like he got ditched or left behind, but it just seemed so lackluster. Of course, Jack's got a plan to get the Doctor out, and it works, and they're out of there. But the dialogue that continues after this, especially when they're in the TARDIS and everything that's going on, just seems so. If maybe just Whitaker's getting just a horrible writing, or Captain Jack's personality and character are just so overpowering that it just makes her look small in comparison. Because don't get me wrong, Captain Jack was spot on. Barrowman did a tremendous job. In fact, it made me pain for the Doctor Who of old, of what a true set of companions can be like. So with that, it just gets quickly glossed over. There's not a whole lot of conversation. And then, of course, we go get the fam, because that's, like, the most present thing on the doctor's mind. Not, you know, everything else that had gone on, but get back to the fam. And, of course, thrusted immediately into the whole Dalek thing. The Yaz doctor kind of relationship seems stressed. I'm not digging on what I'm hearing, but that's for another podcast. So, of course, everyone is happy to see the doctor back. There is some kind of, you know, back and forth a little bit, and I don't know. After seeing how everyone interacts with the doctor, of course, Graham has like next to zero screen time, who is probably the best of the three companions, because Yaz is just flat, in my opinion, and I'm not fond of her as a companion. She is the weakest of the three, and yeah, I said it. There you go. She's the weakest of the three. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm just looking at it from a show, from just an experience. Graham was the better of the three, and I'm sad that, you know, he leaves and with his grandson, who I can't think of his name at the moment, but it's fine. Both of them exit the TARDIS after a very interesting conversation, and it just seems very glossed over. Of all of the companions to leave, I think all of them, even when Martha left, even though I never really, you know, the rebound companion as she were, I felt more kind of like, you know, oh, you were sad to see Martha go. But I don't know if it's just maybe we haven't had enough time to bond with the companions, but I mean, they've been there since the word go. I would imagine the emotional attachment would have been there, but to be honest with you, again, there was just no heart. There was just no feels. And maybe it's because they weren't designed, they weren't built that way, and we haven't really had, I don't want to say we haven't had a lot of time with them, but we really, when in retrospect, as you're looking at the episodes, it's been, you know, force-feeding some weird agenda or some message or just brightening up a story that you really don't need to, and we walk away just not really caring about the companions. I mean, I was more sad, especially as the episode goes on. Jack, of course, does not leave with the TARDIS. He goes and sees Gwen, which, of course, there's rumors circulating about that, which I'll get to. But he calls the doctor on the phone saying, sorry, he's late, go on without him. And, you know, he's at Gwen, and that was that. There are some interesting conversations also that get kind of glossed over, especially when Rose's name is brought up. Because as Jack tries to explain his backstory a little bit to the fam, he brings up Rose, and there's no reaction. Zero from the doctor. Now, I understand that, of course, at this point, the doctor is, I mean, I don't know, billions of years old, depending upon how much you take into account the dial and his true age. I guess chronologically, he should be around a couple thousand years old at this point. And maybe that is a long time for the doctor to move past Rose and whatever feelings and all that. And we do get a closure with, you know, the other doctor staying with her in the other dimension. And I can understand maybe with Clara also kind of, you know, eclipsing what was going on for Rose, and it just filled that gap, and there's different feelings now and more. But just to get no response, I mean, just flat, like almost ignored when he brought it up, seemed so out of character. So just not, it just really wasn't what I expected. And again, just no heart. So, where does that leave us? It leaves us with the doctor taking off, and basically her and Yaz going to Lord knows where to continue on doing what the doctor does best. So, now, after all of that is said and done, here are the rumors, here's the skinny, here's the breakdown. This show is the worst in ratings as far as Doctor Who history is concerned, beating last year's, which was the worst in Doctor Who history, as far as rating. Somehow they have lost 500,000 viewers, and evidently my opinion is not the only one that is just fed up with the writing or the direction that the show has decided to go, which is sad. It's rather depressing. The Chris Chibnall era continues as they are filming right now, and as soon as they get done filming, they said we're going to see an immediate release of the next season, which is spectacular. I'm all for Doctor Who. I'm curious to see what happens, especially with the rumors that were now circulating the show, one of which is Jodie Whittaker's dipping out after this season, whether it's a firing or just a fed up, or she realizes, you know, she's out of her league. I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong. Hear me out. I have nothing against the Doctor being a female. In fact, I think it is very forward-thinking. It's very interesting. And there are a lot of things that could have been explored that were not, as far as a female Doctor. There's some great moments, but overall, I can only think of one episode of the new Doctor that sticks out and I liked. Other than that, they're just kind of there. And I don't think it's any shortcoming on Jodie's part of being the Doctor. Again, I think it's a mixture of writing and scope of her acting skill. When I watch her on Broadchurch, she plays kind of a mopey, meh character, something similar to what we saw in her prison moments for the beginning of the episode, which it seems to kind of fit her acting. There are some other things that I've seen her do where she's a little more pluckier, but I don't think, I mean, she's got some erratic behavior, which is, you know, very reminiscent of a few Doctors, but I don't think, and maybe it's, again, her acting or the writing, more mostly on the writing I'm thinking, is that there really hasn't been a dare to be great moment. There hasn't been that dialogue that you're like, holy shit. There hasn't been just even compared to the last Doctor with Peter Capaldi, there were some great speeches, especially with, you know, the war, when we're dealing with them in the Tower of London in the box. There's when he goes back in time and he's talking about how a society looks at a person. That is compelling. I mean, the whole final stand when he's talking to the Masters, and I mean, there are so many different moments. There are three. I can't even name one with Whittaker, and I only can think of one episode I liked. So, victim of the writing? Most definitely. But the rumors persist that she is stepping out. A lot of them are saying that she's ready to move on to other projects. She wants to also kind of stay with the precedent of three years as a Doctor, and then you regenerate. And if that's the case, we're going to burn through some Doctors pretty freaking quick if we make it that far. The BBC does not seem very happy with the results of the latest episode, everything coming out. But like I said, rumors, speculation, I could be wrong, I'm not sure. And of course, the big rumors, Captain Jack, there is no real solid information of him returning again for the next season, but of course everyone is now chomping at the bit that maybe we will see the long-awaited return of Torchwood, which, okay, I guess. I don't know if I really, if Torchwood is different, I think, and maybe this is where both of these shows have suffered. But, I mean, Doctor Who is primarily about, you know, being in space, and we really didn't get a whole lot of spacey-wacy stuff with Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. I mean, we got some interesting stuff, but, I mean, nothing really, like, out in space. We did get one, I guess, with the chompy little Edie guy, but, I really hate saying that, though. But I guess a return of Torchwood, I guess it depends on who does it. I mean, Miracle Day was very interesting, and there's a lot of loose threads hanging from that that I guess they probably resolved, especially when you see, you know, Jack show up and things are back to normal. And, of course, he even asks about, you know, the Cyberman and, you know, don't give him, you know, the stuff. And she's like, well, we did. So where's the consequence, or why was Jack even there warning? Again, more stuff, more bad writing. Just man. So missed opportunities. That's all I can say. This is Doctor Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. The Doctor of Missed Opportunities. And of course I know a lot of people refer to as Dr. Karen, and affectionately referred to as Dr. Karen. And that's fine. I get it. But I don't want to see her go prematurely. I really think that there's some great potential. And maybe for Torchwood, we'll see Russell Davies come back and do Torchwood again. Maybe. I mean, it is his baby, so that would be interesting. I'm curious. But I don't know if the time for Torchwood is past, and I would like to see a return of Jack. Don't get me wrong. I think what we saw with his return to Doctor Who, and just the charge and the energy and just the absolute glowing presence just eclipsed everybody else. It was so just warm and fuzzy. It was pulling your favorite sweatshirt out of the dryer and putting it on. It's that good. Even as his sonic blaster back, which, you know, I was like, Eccleston would have been proud. So, what else? I think that's kind of my take on it. What's my verdict? It's a very good question. I don't know. I mean, this isn't one for the record books. I mean, I'm annoyed and upset with Chibnall on so many levels, basically just pitching everything 50 plus years of Doctor Who canon into the can, and just turning everything that we've established that the fans love complete rubbish is hard to take. And maybe, you know what, coming in at halftime and seeing the story, you don't know. Maybe things will change. We do have a new companion that is hinted at very cryptically, as far as a guy reading this other gentleman, Dan, air quotes, Dan is his name, his horoscope. So blue is his favorite color, 13 is your lucky number, you're going to be, you know, so there's a lot of, okay, the doctor's coming for you. And maybe Chibnall's trying to get back to the elements that made the previous doctors so successful, you know, with that, you know, hint of foreshadowing of, okay, something's coming through the darkness, you know, he will knock four times. That kind of cool, you know, thoughtful writing. 'Cause here's the deal. Here's my final thought. That I can understand you wanting to make a statement as you take over an well-established show, and you want to try and do something different, something to impress the fans and bring them along with you on what you think would be a fun ride. Chris Chibnall was one of the kids in an audience way back in the day who commented as far as how horrid a turn the show had made, and now, of course, he is responsible for this very same bad turn. I know I don't usually say you should listen to the fans, but in this case, I think you should listen to the fans, especially when you're seeing your viewership drop off. I'm not saying you placate to every nook and cranny because you just can't please everybody. But when you're losing your hardcore fans, there's something wrong. I know, again, you want to impress your friends. You want to bring something new that hasn't been done. But eliminating even the music that helps bring your story to a climax with an amazing crescendo, that it's there because it works. And it's a vital piece to the puzzle. Especially when the Captain Jack reveal could have, I mean, even if you just had music at that point, just to kind of give you the sensation or the buildup, or just, wow, instead of just, it's depressing. And I'm not saying, like I said, for the fan service and everything, but when you look at, and a perfect example, and I hate doing this, because I don't like to cross this line, but when you compare Mandalorian and Doctor Who, Star Wars versus Doctor Who, fans who are as dedicated and as hardcore on both sides of that line than any other fandom out there, well, with the exception of Star Trek, but that's a different story. The service, the absolute moment that Luke Skywalker comes in, you scream. I cheered. I applauded. Captain Jack shows up, and I'm like, oh, okay. There's a drastic difference in the build-up, the writing, and how you present it. I'm not saying that every person has the right idea, and I'm not saying that even maybe mine are the right ideas. But when you're losing and distancing those core, hardcore fans, something needs to be reevaluated. And I don't know if it's from the top down as far as Chimnall and executive producing and writing, and maybe it's just too much. I mean, Broadchurch was a little bit different. It was a gritty drama. You're set solving a mystery, and you're dealing with an entirely different fan base versus going into time and space with the Doctor, with an entirely different set of rules for the character. I don't know if there is answers. I don't know if you're saving this in season 13 or not, to be honest with you. But I think there's something to be said, and at least something to look at when it's in the right proportions, when it's delivered with the hardcore fan in mind, but bringing in everybody else with a story that you're like, okay, it's one thing to play tribute to the years gone by, the glory days, because, you know, it's always hard to compete with the past, especially when the past was a hit and, you know, you find yourself struggling. So I would even think just something simple. Bring back the soundtrack. Bring back Murray Gold. I mean, come on. I there's no heart. I don't need to beat that any further, and I'm not going to. As far as what happens for season 13 remains an absolute mystery. Everybody's quiet and hushed, as they should be, with anticipation. Yes, suddenly Bill Cosby shut down. There's nothing else really on the rumor market in regards to Doctor Who other than the big Whittaker story and this being it. Chimnall is still in charge. Whether he walks away at the end of 3 is a very good question. So the other good question is, who now becomes the Doctor? And now that we've shot 50 plus years of story and you know, tradition in the ass, where do you go? Because if the Doctor's not a Time Lord, and there's just so many different things, so many different questions, so many different rumors, and we just have to wait. I can only speculate so much, and that's an entirely different podcast. So there you have it, my take on Revolution of the Daleks. It's not the worst, I guess, but it's not the best by sure. I mean, I wish I could end it on a higher point. We got Captain Jack back. There you go. There's your high point. We got Captain Jack back. Bearman is awesome. Looked great. And I can't wait to see what comes next. Where does the TARDIS land next? So, in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.